This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quicken Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. We spent a lot of time on the show talking about college football, trying to figure out the playoffs and having some fun with that as we get closer to the end of the season. And there's a team that is on fire. That's the Oklahoma Sooners. They are 9-1 coming off that win against Baylor in Waco on Saturday. Eddie Radosovich joins us from Soonerscoop.com, part of the Rivals Network. And he's joined us before to talk about the Sooners, but boy, I got a lot to ask him about this team. How are you, Eddie, my man? How are you doing?
Tony, how's it going?
Good. All right, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about the game plan Oklahoma implemented to beat this Baylor team. Basically, in a nutshell, how did they do this? How did they go to Baylor and win?
Well, you know, they went into the game and talking all week about stopping the run first and foremost and stopping Chalk Linwood, and then that kind of opened things up for them to be able to go after Baylor defensively, and that's exactly what they did. And you saw Oklahoma come out, and they kind of got hit in the mouth early, and then were able to kind of settle themselves into the game, and they were able to stop the run. In fact, after the first quarter, Baylor had 83 yards. The rest of the game, they only had 76. And so once that was out of the way, they were able to kind of hand it over to the defense and force 5-3 and out. That's certainly something that they talked about on Monday, talking to some of the defensive players and how proud they were, and just kind of a natural evolution of what the defense has become. And then on the opposite side of the ball, you had Baker Mayfield and Lincoln Riley kind of doing what they've done for the last five games, in which they've won by an average of 55-17, kind of that post-UT, I guess, is the best way to put it. And, of course, talking about the Texas game October 10th. And so it was really kind of a team effort, and that's what you've seen out of the last five games from Oklahoma, and certainly a good reason why they've looked so good and why it's been so such a dominating fashion, I guess.
How does Lincoln Riley, how is he able to get the offense the way he has it so quickly in Oklahoma?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost you look at his quarterback in Baker Mayfield, the guy that is now kind of jumping onto the Heisman scene. I know on Monday afternoon, Oklahoma quote-unquote officially launched the Baker Heisman Baker Mayfield Heisman campaign, and he's certainly one of the big reasons why this Oklahoma offense has been moving the ball at the rate that they have. Five straight games over 500 yards. In fact, three of those last four over 600 yards total offense. So he's certainly the key catalyst to making this thing go. And then, especially when you look at the guys around him, and Samaje Perine, who had 166 yards against Baylor, they really have kind of benefited from an offensive line that was young at the beginning of the season, and really seem to be finding their stride as they hit the backstretch of the Big 12 schedule, and certainly something that they'll need here coming up over the final two games against TCU on Saturday and Oklahoma State the weekend after. So you've really seen the Oklahoma offense, I guess, just kind of take off, and it certainly helped with the production of the run game, and then Baker Mayfield, and of course a senior like Sterling Shepard, who seems to be really stepping into that senior role, the role of the number one wide receiver that Oklahoma maybe lacked at sometimes last year when he was out with injury.
Eddie Radosovich joins us, Soonerscoop.com on Oklahoma, who will play TCU coming up on Saturday. They are 9-1. All right, Eddie, give us the Baker Mayfield story, because a lot of people remember him from Texas Tech, and then he's a walk-on here at Oklahoma. The story of how he arrived to be the number one quarterback at Oklahoma, it's got a lot of ups and downs. In a nutshell, give us an idea of how he got to where he is right now with Bob Stoops.
It's a pretty amazing story. I mean, you look at a guy that left Texas Tech, didn't even really call the Oklahoma coaching staff or the Oklahoma football program and tell them that he was coming to Norman. He kind of just showed up out of the blue and introduced himself to Bob Stoops one day at a team function, and the rest is history, I guess. But there's so much into it, and that it's almost a perfect storm of Oklahoma was, I guess, not necessarily looking for a quarterback, but how quickly he won his teammates over. I think spending his season last year in Norman, going to school around the team, even though he in practicing, even though he couldn't play in games, while serving the 1 year, I guess the 1 year penalty for transferring inside the conference, and you heard about Mayfield, you heard about kind of his antics that he was giving the defense problems, running the scout team as a quarterback for Oklahoma, and it really didn't gain a whole lot of steam, I don't think, until the summer when you really started hearing about Baker Mayfield and just really how wowing he was for everybody that was watching. And I think more than anything, though, is you look at how he won his teammates over. You look at how he plays on the field. And that's certainly, I think, a characteristic of him and a characteristic that you see in all really good quarterbacks, that he just makes guys want to play with him. And I think that even it spilled over to the defensive side of the ball, and that you see an Oklahoma defense that is playing with maybe a little bit more passion, with a little bit more swagger here as of late. And it certainly has translated from Baker Mayfield and just kind of the energy that he's brought to the program. I know Bob Stoops commented on Monday just kind of how amazing the run has been so far. And certainly it's a story that a lot of people are going to be talking about here over the next 2 weeks, and certainly moving into the bowl season, as Oklahoma possibly has a chance to play for a national title and certainly a Big 12 championship coming up the next 2 weeks.
What kind of quarterback is he, Eddie, in terms of, I mean, has he got a little swashbuckling in him, or is he more straight up in the pocket kind of guy? I mean, when you watch him play, does he improvise a lot? Does he not have to do that? In terms of his style, how do you best describe it?
I hate to put this tag on him, but he makes a lot of plays that are reminiscent of what Johnny Manziel did.
I was going to ask you about that, if he had a little Manziel in him.
Yeah, I hate to put that tag on him because I certainly think that Johnny Football was such a dynamic college football player that it's tough to put him on it. But at the same time, you see the way that a kind of a smaller stature guy, a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder, was probably overlooked out of high school, and a guy that just seems to, every time he takes the field, has something to prove, whether it be a national primetime game against a Baylor or a home opener against Akron. It seems like he has something to prove to everybody, and that's certainly, I think, kind of his motivation moving forward as he moves into the TCU again. So, yeah, I think that Mayfield probably looks like maybe it's Johnny Manziel. I know that the touchdown throw in late in the fourth quarter to Dimitri Flowers, that's been talked a lot around Norman here as the last 48 hours, I guess, since the Baylor game, and that it was certainly a play that you might have seen in College Station a couple years ago, and it's just maybe that aura that a quarterback brings to him, that he's able to extend plays and keep things going and find guys open and move the football.
Their only blemish, this loss to Texas, it's one that people are looking at saying, okay, we saw this last year with Ohio State. They weren't in, they weren't in, they weren't in, and then boom, they got in. Is this similar to what we saw last year? And really, when you look at this loss to Texas, how much of a black mark is it on their schedule?
Well, it certainly doesn't help when you see Texas in the way that they've played after the OU game. They really certainly haven't done anything to help OU's cause of saying, quote-unquote, that it was a good loss by any means. But, gosh, you look at it, and you just have to wonder what happened on the Cotton Bowl on October 10th. It was a team that clearly isn't the type of team that's played in the last 5 weeks. And certainly, I don't know if it was one of those aha moments or certainly a wake-up call, but even the team, I guess, talking to the players and being around the program every day, it's just been a different type of atmosphere since the Texas game. And I don't know if you can say that it was something that took a load off their shoulders or anything like that, because it could still be something that keeps them out of a college football playoff with a loss, with a blemish on the record. So it's just one of the biggest head scratchers, I think, in the Bob Stoops 17 years in Norman, and what actually happened that day when they dug themselves a hole early in the first quarter and were never really able to get their head above water and get themselves out of it.
Last year, the passing defense for Oklahoma was not good. Have they gotten better at that? Have they really shored that up a bit?
Yeah, I would say if you look at Lincoln Riley as the biggest hire in the offseason, certainly 1A or 1B and 1C would be good arguments for Dyron Reynolds, the defensive line coach, and Kerry Cook, who's new to the OU secondary. But the Oklahoma defense, especially up front, they knew they had some players coming back, but I don't think that anybody thought that they were going to be maybe as disruptive as they have been. You look at the last week, game. The last time they were out on the field at the Baylor game, Matt Diamond gets ejected early in the first quarter, and they have depth. They have guys that are able to come in and give production. You look at guys like Matt Romar, Charles Walker, Charles Tapper even, is named Reese's Senior Bowl Player of the Week this week on the defensive side of the ball. He has 6 sacks over the last 3 games. So they've gotten pressure on the quarterback, and I certainly think that that probably goes hand-in-hand with just guys being better on the back end of Oklahoma's defense and in the secondary where they've been able to force turnovers. And you've seen guys like Ahmad Thomas and Stephen Parker and Jordan Thomas, who all played as freshmen. Certainly Stephen Parker and Jordan Thomas both played as true freshmen last year, and they're just not getting beat the way that they were last year. And so I think that does open things up for Oklahoma to do things differently and maybe be a little bit more aggressive on the front side of the defense. And that certainly came to fruition with the way that those guys up front have played.
Eddie Radosovich again, Soonerscoop.com, part of the Rivals Network on Oklahoma at 9-1. Eddie, nothing makes me happier than when I see Bob Stoops take a shot at the SEC, because for guys like me, it's really fun. But when you watch him do that, when you're in press conference and you get body language, is he serious about some of the stuff he says about that conference, or is he playing, having a little fun, gamesmanship, or is there something really there?
You know, I think that there's probably something a little there. I think it does bug Bob Stoops being a defensive guy to hear to hear national pundits talk about there's no defense played in the Big 12. I know that that he's quick to bring up in games in which the SEC does have a high scoring games. I know that the Arkansas Ole Miss game a couple weeks ago probably brought a smile to his face, being 50 points for each team on the scoreboard. And I do think that anybody around here, especially in Oklahoma and Big 12 country, gets a little offended when all you do here for most of the time, I guess, on national syndication, that the SEC is just heads and heels better than everybody else. So and it's always a good time to see. I agree with you to see Bob kind of stir the pot a little bit and get people going.
I really hope that Oklahoma gets by TCU and we set up for the Bedlam matchup with Oklahoma State, if both of those teams are vying for the Big 12 title and a chance to get to the playoff, because I know it's a ton of fun in that state when both of those teams face off for something to play for.
Man, you talk about a Bedlam game that could really mean something here in 2 weeks. It's just a different rivalry, the Bedlam series, and especially going back the last couple years, the overtime games, the Blake Bell comeback in Stillwater, and then of course last year with Oklahoma deciding to repunt to Tyree Hill and Oklahoma State stealing one in Norman. So it's been 4 or 5 really good years of Bedlam football, and what better way would it be to end the 2015 regular season than possibly a spot between two of Oklahoma's biggest colleges for a spot in the national title, or a spot in the playoffs, and certainly a Big 12 championship on the line.
Eddie, great talking to you as always, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll catch up soon.
Tony, anytime. I appreciate it.
You got it. Eddie Radosovich, Soonerscoop.com is the website, part of the Rivals.com network, helping us break down Oklahoma. Yeah, you're right. So they got TCU and Oklahoma State. And I know, you know, we've been talking about this with this playoff committee for a while. How are they looking at the Big 12? And the way they looked at the Big 12 in their initial findings or their initial poll was, you got to still show me something. TCU, Baylor, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Well, now we've sort of calmed things down a little bit. Baylor has got that loss. TCU has got a loss. Oklahoma State is still unbeaten. Oklahoma with that one blemish against Texas, but a road win against Baylor. So now the committee is going to look at this Big 12, and there are games at the end that really are going to shape these teams. If Oklahoma gets through these next 2 games, for example, they will have beaten a ranked TCU team and a ranked Oklahoma State team, possibly an unbeaten Oklahoma State team, and that's going to carry some weight at the end of their season. So the committee is saying, not yet, but the door is open. I just worry about who you're taking out. I mean, if Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama continue to run the table, are you going to kick one of those out? What about Notre Dame? If they run the table, are you going to kick them out? But there is still a strong resume here for Oklahoma if they do indeed win the Big 12 with the way they close out the season. 800-777-2907. Tony D here on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio.